this series, we're talking about knowing Jesus. I think you might remember when we were looking through the book that the Apostle John wrote about Jesus' life, he said, you know, I saw Jesus do so many things, he taught so many things, and I reckon if you sat down and wrote down in a book all the stuff that Jesus did and all the things that Jesus taught, the world wouldn't be big enough to hold the books that described what Jesus said and did. But John says, I've written my book, just this one little book, with a specific purpose. I want you who are reading my book to know Jesus Christ, to know the one who sent him, and that by believing in him, that you would have life in his name. And so that's our whole purpose in doing this series of Bible talks about knowing Jesus. We don't want to just know about Jesus. I mean, it's great to know about Jesus, but it's far more important to know Jesus himself, to have a relationship with him as a person, as our Saviour. And that by doing that, we can have eternal life. Now, in John chapter 12, Jesus was talking to some people and he said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now that was in verse 23 of John chapter 12. Further down, later on, as he continued talking, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, said Jesus, if I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. But the people who were there, the people answered him and said, we've heard from the law, it's from the Bible, the Old Testament, that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now that maybe is going through your head as well. Okay, why have we got this title, this topic tonight, Knowing Jesus, the Son of Man? Maybe you're thinking the same thing as those people who are there with Jesus. Who is this Son of Man? Now when Jack and Jill get together to talk to each other, words might come out of Jack's mouth. Like you might say, the cat sat on the mat. And hopefully, in Jill's head, she gets the picture. Okay, Jack says, the cat sat on the mat. Jill gets the idea, she understands what he's talking about. She's heard about cats, she's heard about mats, she knows what sitting is, so she gets an understanding of, okay, cats on the mat. But obviously what was happening when Jesus spoke, and he said, the Son of Man, it was like, what? They just didn't get it. Didn't get what he was talking about. So when we actually look at that title that Jesus used, we find that when you look at the New Testament, it's a title that Jesus used very, very often. In fact, it was probably his favourite description of himself. So if we want to know Jesus, we really need to understand what he wanted his disciples to know when he described himself this way. I really challenge you to just have a look in your copy of the New Testament. Look at the four accounts that Jesus' apostles gave of his life, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and just see how often Jesus uses this way to describe himself, the Son of Man. On an occasion in Luke records, on an occasion that Jesus took his 12 disciples aside and he said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. All things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. There's a bit of a clue there if we want to understand how Jesus wanted us to latch on and get a mental picture of what he was meaning when he said Son of Man. Something to do with what's written in the prophets. Now, ideally, what should have happened when Jesus used that phrase, the Son of Man, The people listening to him should have gone, "Ah, Daniel chapter 7. That was the ideal. They should have actually had a trigger in their head. It's a bit like, you know, sometimes when you've, those of us who've got, you know, used to using computers, and maybe you sort of scroll your mouse over a bit of hypertext, and sometimes a little pop-up bit of text pops up that explains what a word means, or, you know, where you can find out some more information about it. It's almost what should have happened as that phrase, the Son of Man, came out of Jesus' mouth. It should have just popped up a little pop-up window in people's minds. Ah, Daniel chapter 7. And just a reminder, and I don't want to turn things off, the light is the little red button, is it? Yes, good, okay. Just a reminder, here we are out in a satellite out in space looking down. Remember, God's people, originally God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees around here. He came down to this part of the world. Later on, people went down into Egypt and eventually became slaves in Egypt. Then, under the leadership of Moses, came back out to the land that God had promised. Ultimately, they became disobedient again and they went into slavery up here in Babylon. And during that time, God used prophets like Daniel and Ezekiel to give them hope, to give them a message that God was in control, that he was going to defeat their enemies, and there was a coming kingdom that would go on forever. So Daniel prophesying up there in Babylon. And here's a portion of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel said, "I saw in the night visions." God gave him at night time a picture in his mind. He could see awesome things. "Behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was nervous, anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things." Now, there are quite a few extra portions of the vision that Daniel saw, but later on in the explanation, Daniel heard, "The court shall sit in judgment, and the enemy's dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my colour changed, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, Daniel was given an awesome vision, the throne room of heaven, God, the Ancient of Days, the one who existed before days even had been created. God the Father in his awesome heavenly throne, on his awesome heavenly throne. And one came before him, one like a Son of Man, and was presented before him. So that phrase, Son of Man, I mean, on the surface of it, it just sounds like one of Adam's descendants. I mean, in Hebrew or Aramaic, in Hebrew it's Ben Adam, you know, son of Adam, son of humanity, son of mankind. So on the surface of it, it sounds like it's just describing a human being. But not just an ordinary human being. Not just an ordinary human being. A human being who was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. So a glorious human being, a special and unique human being, was the vision of Daniel in chapter 7 of his prophecy. So as we look at those four accounts that Jesus' followers have given us of his life, essentially we learn three things about Jesus. There are three aspects of the truth about Jesus that we learn from the way he used this phrase, Son of Man, to describe himself. First thing we learn is the nature of his work here on earth and the humble condition that he was in here on earth. In Mark 2 verse 10, remember there was a paralyzed man, his friends brought him to Jesus, and Jesus said to the people around him, "It's important that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And that's what he did, and that was a demonstration that the Son of Man, that's Jesus' use of that title for himself, has power on earth to forgive sin. So that's part of his work here on earth, was to offer and provide forgiveness of sins. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." It tells us that Jesus, in his description of himself as the Son of Man, lived a human life here on earth. He ate and drank. He was scorned by the people around him, but he was, although having the divine power to forgive sins, he was amongst a people who scorned him, and he ate and drank. He had a human nature. On another occasion, a certain scribe, it's described in Matthew 8, a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So certainly in terms of his work here on earth and his condition here on earth, Son of Man described a humble human being who had a divine mission to provide and offer and apply forgiveness of sins. So that's the first thing we can learn about Jesus from the way he described himself as the Son of Man. The other strand of his teaching as he was with his disciples was that he taught them there was coming a time when he would suffer and when he would die and when he would rise from death. In Mark 8, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. That was an important part of his teaching, that the Son of Man was one who was going to be experience suffering and death, but ultimately to come alive again. Jesus taught his disciples in Mark 10, "We're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. They'll condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. They'll mock him, scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." In Mark 14, he spoke of his betrayal. "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." The third thing that Jesus wanted his disciples to know about him, and the way that he used this title, this special description of himself as the Son of Man, was that there would be coming a day in the future when he would return from heaven, and that he would return as a glorious and awesome judge. He said in Mark 8:38, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And in Matthew 25, he said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Daniel the prophet had a vision given to him by God of one like a Son of Man. Jesus came and he said to his disciples, I am the Son of Man. He told them that the Son of Man was one who'd been written about by the prophets. He wanted them to latch on to that truth. Ah, Daniel 7, that awesome one that Daniel saw. Jesus, our teacher, isn't just saying he's a human being. He's saying, I'm the Son of Man. I'm that one that Daniel spoke about. I'm that one who was given a kingdom that would go on forever and ever. I was the one who was given authority over all of the peoples of the earth. I was the one who was going to stand at the throne of God and be given awesome, eternal power. And in all of the things that Jesus taught his disciples here on earth, that was the theme. I am that one. If you look at me at the moment, I don't have that awesome, heavenly, terrifying power. You saw the effect it had on Daniel. He said, I just couldn't take it in. I was seeing these awesome things and it just disturbed me. I just didn't know what to say about it. I couldn't understand it. I had to ask one of the angels to explain it to me, and even after he'd explained it to me, it was just more than I could take in. Jesus was saying to his disciples, look, I'm here, I'm amongst you, I'm eating and drinking, I'm living what looks like a human life in front of you, maybe nothing particularly remarkable. People scorn me and mock me. And there's even coming a time when I'm going to be betrayed and led away to my death, given a criminal's death. On the surface of it, maybe nothing like that awesome heavenly being that Daniel saw, but I am the Son of Man. I am that one that Daniel saw. I'm the one who's coming with all of the authority and power of God, with all the angels of God. I'm the one who has the authority to judge every human being that ever lived. The standard of Jesus' judgment is his own perfect life. And so there's a final challenge to us before we leave this topic tonight. Jesus' challenge is, therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus said no one knows the hour or the day when he's going to return. He's given us assurance. The Apostle Paul said God basically gave us a guarantee that judgment is coming. That guarantee is based on the fact that Jesus came alive on the third day after he'd been crucified. So just as certainly as Jesus came and lived and died, rose again and ascended to heaven, he is coming again. We need to be ready. The only way we can really be ready is to trust that the sacrifice that he made on the cross when he was delivered up is a payment for our disobedience against God. That the risen life that he has is placed to our account, and that we, because we know Jesus as our Saviour and as our Lord, have eternal life. That's Jesus' challenge. Be ready. The only way to be ready is to turn away from disobedience and lay hold in faith on the only man who has ever been perfectly obedient, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Amen.